Text for the sermon this morning is in the letter of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 16. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning, the darkness and the light, were the first day. First thing God did to the unformed heavens and earth was create light in the darkness that was on the face of the deep. Second, God divided a period of light from a period of darkness. Third, God created day and night and made them alternate. God created time. It was dark last night as Saturday came to a close. It is light this morning as we begin a new day in God's house. That is time. God created time on the first day. On the fourth day, God created the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And so today the sun is shining and it is light. And tonight the moon will shine. When I was 8 years old, my family moved from Pennsylvania to San Jose, California. A godly widow in the church taught English in the Christian high school. She had a quotation sitting on her desk in her classroom from Benjamin Franklin. It caught my attention, and I've never forgotten it. It read, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time. For that's the stuff life is made of." Benjamin Franklin wrote that almost 270 years ago in June 1746 in Poor Richard's Almanac, which he published in Philadelphia for 25 years from 1732 to 1758. Those who deny God are unable to provide meaning for their own existence. If God is dead, man cannot even affirm the moment because it is meaningless. To deny time and history is to deny testing and maturity. Time means history. Time means the working out of God's purpose for man. Time is an opportunity for the Christian. God commands in our text, redeem the time because the days are evil. Time is a quality or season of meaning. Redeem means to buy up the opportunity. Like someone who buys up a scarce commodity. Time is not an endless sequence of unique existential moments. Time is an aspect of God's great design and thus is totally meaningful. We live in God's world of inescapable and total meaning. Every moment of time and every act of history furthers the development and unfolds that meaning. God commands progress in time. God commands us to overcome evil and to set forth all the claims and the power of the King Jesus Christ and His kingdom, the kingdom of God. In terms of this calling, time is wealth and an opportunity. We must use time to the full to bring all things into captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the triune God, and under His holy dominion. As Christians, we do not flee from time. We stand in time as in wealth, with a world to conquer for Christ with that wealth. The triune God is the personal creator of the temporal universe. The only truly transcendental meaning comes from the sovereign and triune God who created heaven and earth and all that is in them. Without transcendental meaning, man creates his own meaning and reads into it and onto the world and the events of the world. This is superstition, which is an irrational feeling or belief which man projects onto reality. The more pronounced man's rejection of the sovereign triune God is, the more pronounced his superstition is. If there is no law, there is no crime. If there is no judge beyond history, then history is its own judge. If there's nothing beyond time, then all potentiality resides in time. We live and move and have our being not in God, but in time. This is the constant problem of humanism. Denying God, denying His infallible Word, enthrones time and its processes with infallibility because there is no law or standard by which we can judge the events of time. If time is not an aspect or condition of God's creation, it becomes an aspect of man's autonomous mind and experience. Man's confidence in time is confidence in himself. As Christians, we understand that God has established time under His own decree and His own law. God is the source of all meaning. God's law is the Word and the law that governs all of creation. The legitimacy of any civil order or any office is not in historical transmission to the present time, but rather in its conformity to the Word and the law of God. The Bible declares that salvation is from sin and death to the service of God, not from time. Salvation is in time. Time is not something that God will destroy like sin and death, but something we must redeem, something we must make a means of exercising godly dominion. Man's life is inseparable from time. To reject time is to reject life and to reject salvation. Time is exceedingly precious for several reasons. First, how you use time flows out of whether you have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. How you use time indicates how you will spend eternity in the blessed presence of the Lord, the God who created heaven and earth and who redeems sinners through His only begotten Son, or under God's unending punishment in hell. Our welfare in this world depends on how we use time. If we do not redeem it, we are in danger of coming to poverty and disgrace. If we redeem the time, buy it up as something exceedingly precious, we obtain those things which will be useful and comfortable for us in this life and also in the life which is to come. Time is so exceedingly precious because by it we have opportunity through the mercy of our God in His Son Jesus Christ to escape everlasting misery and judgment and to obtain eternal blessedness and glory. We can only escape infinite evil and enjoy eternal blessing through the means of time by which God gives us opportunity to hear and believe and obey the gospel of His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." We come to know God and Jesus Christ and have eternal life in time. Second, time is very short, which is another thing that makes it very precious. People value something more highly when it is scarce, especially if it is necessary and essential for life. A whole eternity depends upon time. And yet we have only a little time. Job said in Job chapter 16, verse 22, "When a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return." He said in chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, "Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey." James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 14, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It is but as a moment to eternity." Time is so short. And the work which we have to do in time is so great that we have no time to spare. The work which we have to do to prepare for eternity must be done in time, or it can never be done. It requires great difficulty and great labor, and therefore we must redeem the time. Third, we should esteem time very highly because we do not know when it will come to an end for us. We know that time is very short, but we do not know how short. We do not know how little time remains for us in this life. 1 year, several years, or only a month, or a week, or a day. Every day, we do not know whether that day will be the last, or even whether we have the whole day. If we knew that we had only a few months or a few days more to live, we would prize time so highly. A wise man will prize his time highly because we never know how much time God will give us. There are many people in the world today who presently enjoy health and they see no signs of approaching death. Many of them will die next month or next week or even tomorrow, and some tonight. And yet they know nothing of it and perhaps think nothing of it. Neither they nor their neighbors know when God will take them from this life. This teaches us how we ought to prize our time and how careful we should be that we lose none of it. Fourth, time is very precious because when it is past, it cannot be recovered. There are many things that we can replace, but you cannot replace time. When time is gone, it is gone forever. No amount of work, no amount of money will recover time. And though we repent that we let time pass and did not redeem it while we had it, it will be to no purpose. Every part of time is successively given to us that we may choose whether we will redeem it or not. And if we do not redeem it, it is lost forever. If we have lived 50 or 60 or 70 years or more and have not redeemed our time, we can never get that time back. It is gone from us forever. All that we can do is to redeem the little time that remains. When the time of life is gone, it is impossible that we should ever obtain another lifetime. All opportunity of obtaining eternal welfare is completely and everlastingly gone. God has committed to each one of us the precious talent of time. You have an eternity before you. When God created you in His own image and gave you a living soul, He made you for an endless life. He gave you time here on earth in order to prepare for eternity. And your future eternity depends upon you redeeming the time. Consider, therefore, what you have done with your past time. Most of us are not just beginning our time. A great deal has passed. It's gone. And there's nothing that can bring it back. What account can you give to God of how you have used past time? Every day that you have enjoyed has been precious. Every moment has been precious. Have you wasted your precious moments, your precious days, your precious years? Every day that you have lived has been precious. What have you done every day of your life? What is the fruit of all your days? How have you increased the value of your days? How have you done good? How have you received good in all the days in which you have lived? When you look back and search, do you not find that you have wasted much of your past time? That you have not put it to the best uses? If God, who has given you your time, should call you to give an account, what account could you give to Him? How much can be done in 1 year? How much good you have the opportunity to do in a year's time? How much you may serve the Lord and how much good you may do for your own soul if you redeem the time to the utmost of your ability? How much you can do in 1 day. But what have you done in all the days, in all the years that you have lived? What have you done with the whole time of your youth? What has become of that precious season of life? Have you wasted your youth? Would it have been just as well, or perhaps even better for you, if all of that time in your youth you had just been asleep or in a state of non-existence? How have you spent your leisure time? How have you spent the holy time that God has given to you? What have you done with all the Sabbath days which you have received? Consider these things seriously. And let your own conscience answer truthfully. How little most people consider the preciousness of time. So many people spend their time but accomplish so little good. There's nothing more precious and yet nothing of which men are more wasteful than time. We treat time as if it were not so valuable and as if we had endless supplies of time. If people spent their money as they spend their time, if they threw away their money as they throw away their time, we would think they were insane. Yet time is 1,000 times more precious than money. And when it is gone, you cannot buy it with money, not even with silver or gold. In our text, in Ephesians 5, verse 16, the Lord reproves several kinds of people. First, the Lord reproves those who spend a great deal of their time in idleness. in doing nothing that is profitable for the good of their souls or their bodies. Nothing that is profitable for themselves or for their neighbor. Nothing that is profitable for their family or for their country to which they belong. There are some people who, instead of being concerned to redeem the time as it passes, act as if it were rather their concern to find ways to waste their time and to consume it. As though time, instead of being precious, were merely a hindrance to them. Something to get past or through or around. To get rid of. Their hands refuse to work, and rather than working diligently, they let their families and themselves suffer. The Lord tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 21, the Lord says, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe the man with rags." Some people spend much of their time drinking and smoking and partying and wandering from place to place, wasting their idols and their hours in idle and unprofitable talk, which does not produce any good. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The Lord commands us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, to labor, working with our hands the thing which is good, that we may have to give to those who have need. But lazy people, instead of gaining anything to give to those who have need, waste what they already have. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." Second, the Lord reproves those who spend their time in wickedness to do evil. They hurt both themselves and others. Those who spend their time in wicked works not only neglect to redeem their time to obtain eternal happiness or to escape condemnation, but they spend it to a contrary purpose, to increase their eternal misery, to increase their condemnation and punishment both in time and in eternity. Some people spend much time in partying and reveling, in unclean talk and practices, in keeping evil company, in corrupting and ensnaring the minds of others, in setting bad examples and leading others into sin, undoing not only their own souls, but the souls of other people. Some people spend much of their precious time in tearing others down and backbiting and talking against others in contention, in not only quarreling themselves, but fomenting and stirring up strife and contentions among others. It would have been well for some men and well for their neighbors if they had never done anything at all. For then they would have done neither good nor hurt others. But now they have done a great deal more harm than they have done or will ever do good. When God saves those who have spent much of their time in wickedness, they find not only that they have wasted the past, but that it takes much time and effort to undo the evil that they have done. This was true of Manasseh, king of Judah, to whom God gave 55 years as king, and he was not able to undo all the evil that he had done for the people of God. Third, in our text, the Lord reproves those who spend their time only in worldly pursuits, neglecting their souls. Such people lose their time, no matter how diligently they are in their worldly business. They use their time so carefully for worldly profit. They use time only for their own benefit. And they lose time because time was not given for itself. Time was given for eternity, which comes after time, after history. And those who spend their time in caring and laboring for the world only, which is perishing, in inquiring what they shall eat and what they shall drink, and what clothes and fashions they shall wear, in planning how to lay up for themselves treasures here upon the earth, in how to enrich themselves, and how to make themselves great in the eyes of the world, in how to live comfortably and pleasantly on this earth, who busy their minds and use their strength that only in these earthly things, and who set their hearts and their love on these things, lose their precious time. If you have spent your time in this way, you've spent a great part of your time and a great part of your strength in getting a little of the world. And how little good it brings to you. What happiness or satisfaction does it provide you? Will it give you peace of conscience? Will it give you eternal comfort? Is your poor, needy, perishing soul any better for it? Will it bring for you an eternal weight of glory? And what will all that you have acquired do for you in eternity? There are many reasons why God commands us to redeem the time. Time is so precious. So much depends upon it. It is so short and uncertain. You cannot recover it when it is gone. If you have a right understanding of these things, you will want to redeem every moment that God gives you. Every hour and every moment will seem precious to you, but there are still more reasons why God commands us to redeem the time. And first is this. We must give an account to God for the time that He has given us. Time is a talent that God gives us. He gives us each day for some work. At the end of the day, He calls us to give Him an account. We must give an account to the Lord of how we have redeemed all our time. We are the servants of God. And a servant is accountable to his master for how he spends his time when he is working. In the same way, we must give an account to God. And if you keep this in your mind, is it not a reason to redeem the time that God gives you each day and each moment? Would you not behave differently if you considered every morning that you must give an account to God of how you spend that day? And if you considered at the beginning of every evening that you must give an account to God for how you spend that evening, would you not behave differently? The Lord Jesus Christ has told us, for every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. We must give an account of all our idle, misspent time. If we must give an account of every idle word. Second, consider how much time you've already lost. If we have lost much time, we have even greater need of diligently redeeming the time that remains. We should mourn and lament over lost time, but that is not all. We must apply ourselves even more diligently to redeem the time that remains, that we may redeem lost time. If you are well advanced in years, if you've spent your time in vanities and in worldly cares, if you've neglected the interests of your soul, you've lost so much time. And therefore you have even greater need to redeem diligently the time that God still gives you. Your opportunity is so much shorter. You have the same work to do for eternity, but so much less time to do it. You not only have the same work to do, but you have more work. For you must undo the worldliness which you have cultivated for so long in your life. And you have lost the best of your time. Those who spend their youth in sin have lost the best part of their life. That which is gone is the best, and yet all the work remains. And not only so, but with greater difficulties than ever. And the shorter your time is, the more work you have to do. What will make you aware of the necessity of diligently redeeming the time that remains if none of these things do? Sometimes thinking about these considerations discourage people and make them think that since they've lost so much time, it's not worth their while to try to do anything now. When people are young, the devil tells them, oh, there's so much time later on. You do not need to redeem the time now. And when they're older and their youth is past, the devil tells them, oh, you've lost so much time already, and you've lost the best of your time, that it's not worth your while trying to do anything now either. And they believe him too. No time is the right time to do what is right. That's what the devil wants you to believe. The season of your youth is not a good time, for that's the time to have fun. That's the time to do what you want. And afterward, you can do something important and worthwhile. And when the after time comes, the later years of your life, that's not a good time either, because the best of your years are gone. And so men are ruined. They're destroyed. What madness is it for people to give way to discouragement and neglect to redeem the time because their time is so short? No, rather, we should awake out of sleep, the Bible says. We should rouse ourselves up to be more earnest, to be more diligent, and to redeem the time that we might obtain eternal life. That we might be faithful servants of the God who made us. That God might yet grant to us repentance. That we might acknowledge and obey the truth. That we might be saved. It may be late in your life. It may be late in the day. Yet God calls you to wake yourself up. He calls you to apply yourself with all that is in you to your work, to the calling that He lays upon you in life. Are you going to listen to His counsel rather than to the counsel of the devil? Third, consider how time is sometimes valued by those who come to the end of their life. What a sense of preciousness poor sinners have when they're on their deathbed. They cry out, oh, that I had 1,000 worlds for just a short space of time. Time is so precious to them. A little bit of time could do them no more good than before, when they were strong and healthy. But yet they value it so much more. They see its great worth. When they were healthy and strong, when they thought they had years ahead of them, they did not value it like they should have. They did not realize the value of time. And so they were negligent. But now they think differently. It's not because they are deceived that people think time is of so much value when they're almost dying. It's because God opens their eyes to understand the truth. That's because people are deceived and blind that they do not value time. Fourth, think about the value set upon time by those who have entered into eternity. What do you think they think about the preciousness of life and of time, who have no more opportunity to obtain eternal life and suffer the endless punishment of God in hell? They wasted their time while they lived. They did not set great value upon it, but now they think differently. How they would value the opportunity that every one of us still has who are in this life, if only they could have back time. Is that not what Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 16? When the rich man wanted time. One day you will be convinced of the value of time. you are not convinced in this life by the word of God, you will be convinced in the day of eternal punishment. Brothers and sisters, redeem every moment of the time that God gives you to the utmost. What are some ways that we can redeem the time? First, redeem the present time without any delay. If you delay and you put off redeeming the time, you'll lose still more time. And it will be an evidence that you really do not understand how precious time is. Do not think that there will be a more convenient time later. Redeem the time while you have it. Follow the example of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 60. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Second, be particularly careful to redeem those parts of time which are most precious. All time is precious, but some parts of time are more precious than others, such as the Lord's Day is more precious because it is set apart specially unto God. It's more precious than all the other days. And such time is of great advantage for our everlasting spiritual well-being. And therefore, above all, make the best use of your Sabbath days, and especially of the time of public worship, which is the most precious part of the Lord's Day. Do not lose it in sleep, or in carelessness, or in indifference, or inattention, or wandering imaginations. How foolish those are who waste away not only their common time, but their holy time, when they're attending on the holy ordinances of God. The time of youth is precious for many reasons. And if you are still in your youth, take heed that you make the best use of it, that you make better and better use of it, that you redeem it, that you buy up the opportunity. Do not let the precious days and years of your youth slip away without improving them, making them better and better. When the Spirit of God is striving with us and working in us, is a precious time also. For then God is near, and we are directed by the prophet Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for He will have mercy, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of God's grace. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, I have heard you in an acceptable time. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And third, redeem your leisure time well. Many people have a great deal of leisure time, and all people have some leisure time. You can make very good use of that leisure time. When you're free from the cares of your body and from your cares of your daily work, you have a wonderful opportunity to do good and to nourish your own soul. Do not spend such opportunities unprofitably. Do not spend such opportunities in a way that you will not be able to give a good account of them to God. Do not waste your leisure time in unprofitable visits or useless diversions and amusements. Pleasure and rest and recreation ought properly to be used to refresh us and to strengthen us so that we may redeem time more diligently. You need to improve every talent, every advantage, every opportunity to your utmost while time lasts. For the time that God has given to you will quickly come to an end. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for time. Thank you that you created time in the very beginning. We thank you for the sun and the moon that mark the passing of time. We thank you for the days and the weeks that mark the passing of time, the seasons and the years. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Lord's days that begin every week since the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ to redeem us. And Father, we pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, will apply these things that we have considered for a few moments together to our eternal good, to our eternal salvation. And enable us, Heavenly Father, to see the many ways in which we do not use our time as wisely and carefully and diligently and advantageously as we should. And give us your grace that we might redeem the time more, that we might make better use of the time that you give, that we might see its value and its preciousness, that we may not waste the days of our youth, but remember our Creator, and so worship and serve and honor you and develop our minds and our talents and abilities to the fullest, that you might be glorified and that your kingdom might come and that your name might be honored and that we might be faithful servants who have received much and have used all that you have given to the best of our ability, so that you will say in that last day, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Father, forgive us for the years that we have wasted. Forgive us for every moment that we have been idle in, or that we have used in unprofitable and wicked things. And give us true repentance. We pray, Father, for those who are on the path to hell, whose hearts are not right before you. Father, we pray that in time and in history, you might sovereignly change their hearts by your Holy Spirit and call them unto everlasting life in the person and work of Jesus Christ. To all of your people shall be saved. Not one of them shall be lost. Use us as instruments in your hand for that glorious end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.